Well, the B20 agenda is very broad. It looks at everything from digital resilience to sustainable chains, whether it's in food security or energy security. It looks at the entire issue of climate as well. But one of the areas that the B20 is focusing on, and perhaps something we need to discuss, is the entire issue of inclusion. Shobhana Kamineni with us. Thanks very much, ma'am, for being with us. If you look at inclusion and India's demographic dividend, I think while we have the numbers, if we don't employ more women in the workforce, by which I mean the professional workforce, as it were, we will never be able to achieve our potential. Would you agree?
I mean, this is something that we all know, Vishnu, but nobody has done anything materially except make the noise. Just by having a Women's Day or having this particular separate vertical for this thing and say we're inclusive, diversity, what have we done to make the change? So here, you know, a couple of things that I'd like to put out and then you can ask me, happy to go deeper. One is materially, what should we do? So by having women directors, making it compulsory, that has changed the space, that you've had a whole lot of new women entering into a very important corporate boardrooms, which was hitherto just a male-dominated bastion. If we can do materially, suppose you put out an idea that women get, that women earning, or, you know, from women's incomes, you get a 5% tax rebate. Just tell me, every family business in India that has kept women out as part of their charter constitution will suddenly say, oh my God, I'm going to get a better deal. I get 5% more that stays with me. The whole fabric will change.
Yeah.
India, from being below Saudi Arabia in the women's workforce participation, will just shoot up.
Yeah.
And I think in an election year, materially, it's just a win-win, not just for the economy, for the country, for women, and it's a great example.
Sure.
So I think that would be the one big idea I learned here.
Yeah. Attached with that, the greater role of women, of course, is the importance of reskilling and upskilling, again, to reach that potential of our demographic dividend. Jobs are changing, the nature of the workforce is changing. Yes, inclusion of women, but they need to be skilled. Everybody needs to be reskilled. Again, how is that a big challenge at B20?
So I'm a co-chair, right, of the skilling and mobility.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
In that, it's the three pillars we had. One pillar completely devoted to what we can do to give ministerial recommendations for skilling. Because what we've seen is nearly 51% of the global workforce today will have to be reskilled just to be able to cope with the challenges of tomorrow. And think about a lifespan of people working. One, people working longer, people migrating, people changing, you know, different as jobs move on. So reskilling, upskilling, just skilling alone is going to take so much of the world's attention. And unless we do it, you know, we're just going to have a productivity collapse. And I think this is something in countries that hardly have workers, they need this. In countries like ours that have a surplus of workers, we need to be able to engage them to be globally mobile and to be, you know, to move around the country.
Tell us a little bit about the healthcare space. I mean, that's something that is obviously at the core of your existence almost.
True.
Are there lessons from India which can be shared with the world now? Certainly in the pharma sector, India is the pharmacy of the world. Statistically, that is correct. There have been concerns of late on the quality of some of our drugs. That being said, what can India do going forward to being a real partner for other nations?
The very simple answer is India for a graying world. You look at countries that, you know, are graying, whereas in India, by 2030, we'll have the largest population inside the workforce. In the last 20 years, the participation from people staying at home to, you know, to being dependent to actually being into the workforce because of our youthful age has really shifted to almost, and by 2030 it will be 38%, which means we'll have the largest global workforce. And this global workforce, if they're skilled right, will be able to actually serve, because healthcare at the end of it is a touch job. And a lot of the touch can't go away. Tech is great. It helps us, makes us more productive. So if you can merge that productivity with the touch, I think that there can be millions of Indians, like what it was for the IT sector. This is going to be the next big wave for the world. And the second part, what India can do is, look at us, Chandrayaan showed cheaper than half the cost of Interstellar, the movie. Same way, in terms, forever we've been that with healthcare. No matter what people crib and talk about Indian healthcare, just see, the medicines today are 10% of what they are anywhere else in the world. Look at healthcare. You can have an open heart surgery at 20% of what? Same results, Apollo, as Mayo. But you go to Mayo, you're going to spend 20 times more. This is the kind of arbitrage is not a good word, but this is the ability of what Indian medical value travel can actually create, a multi-billion dollar. Not only is it soft diplomacy, it will serve the world. India to serve the world. Sure. That's the best way to say it.
Again, medicine, or even if it's not medicine, going forward, research and development and serious spends in R&D is a must. Do you believe that that is an area where across sectors, India has been lagging? Certainly in the health sphere as well, we are great manufacturers. We are great replicators in a sense. But true research and development, and let's talk about your own space, the healthcare space, do you believe there's a lot of unrealized potential in India?
You know, it takes money. So first of all, whatever we say that we spend too little in R&D and all that, by the time we sit and do payroll, pay your cost, change your equipment.
But that's true anywhere in the world.
No, they really have they have access to much larger pools of capital. So what I think is, if we can partner, like what's happened now is, all the global research, so we can't say that we don't do research. All the best research have Indian arms. If you look at it, whether it's motor, whether it's aerospace, whether it's healthcare, it's all here, that everyone has realized that they need to set up an innovation space either in Bangalore or Gurgaon or Pune or Hyderabad or any of these places. So you're seeing a different form of research which we're not counting.
Yeah.
So this is all that I'd like to say, that it's not like it's not happening here. I mean, you don't get great ISRO engineers just out of the blue. They are there.
We do it in our own way, right?
With
frugal.
Frugal, jugaad, do partnerships.
But there's a limit to that.
Do this. But the thing is that the world still needs a space for that, you know, to be able to do it well. And I think India, what we need to do is, once we get the scale, and I feel that otherwise we need to disrupt. So if you look in technology, we're second to none. If you really look at it in the tech space, who's run UPI? That is huge innovation that actually served millions of people. So I won't say that, you know, when we're nowhere in that space. We just have to count the right things.
Wonderful speaking to you, as
Thank
always.
You.
Shobhna Kamineni there, telling us a little bit about her primary issues, from inclusion to the healthcare space to R&D and so much more. It's back to the studio.